Good morning, Sower Nation. It is Saturday, January. What happened? Did I just have a glitch in the matrix? It is Saturday, April the 25th in the year of our Lord, 2026. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. So let's dive straight in on this Saturday morning. It's time for consecration. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Yes, Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, church, Sower Nation, people of God, let's go. Our entry today is entitled, Why Discipleship to Jesus Outside of Relationships with Others is Not Discipleship to Jesus. Oh, a little bit provocative there. Our text, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Hear now the word of the Lord. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. We come to one of Paul's favorite literary strategies, the well-placed therefore. You know the strategy of therefore. It is meant to cause us to ask the seminal interpretive question of biblical studies. What is it there for? Therefore is a hinge word. It moves us from because of this to now that. Chapters 1 through 3 of Ephesians present the case of what God has done. Chapters 4 through 6 present the practical implications. Paul moves us from indicative to imperative, from gospel message to gospel mission. The operative words in today's text are calling and called. Note, Paul is not writing to an ever-shrinking group of people in some kind of ecclesial system or graduate school trying to qualify themselves to enter into the ordained ministry. Unfortunately, this is largely what the notion of being called has come to mean in much of what we call church today. I don't mean to diminish this dimension of calling, but this is only a small segment of a much bigger picture. Actually, we need to get away from a two-tiered approach altogether. There are not two categories, but one. The one category to which all the followers of Jesus belong is the category of the called. Within this category are a diversity of expressions of calling, but there is only one category. In a few verses, Paul will get to several particular kinds of callings, but he begins the conversation with the larger concern. I, Therefore, the prisoner in the Lord beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Now, before this calling is any particular kind of activity, vocation, function, role, duty, or anything else, it is a life. He means a life steeped in the truths and realities delineated in chapters 1 through 3. He means a life supernaturally alive with the life of God, a life that inhales mercy and exhales grace, a life rooted and established in the only love that is truly love. A life ever grasping more of the life whom to know is to love. He means a life lived in the rich fellowship of the friends of Jesus, of slaves becoming sons and daughters, of sinners becoming saints, together filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. In that spirit, let's remind ourselves once again that when Paul says you, he means not you, but we. Not me, but us. Not you, but y'all. The New Testament, you, is most often second person plural. Watch where Paul takes this next. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. The other mistake we make with this idea of calling is that it is individualized. Our calling is together. It only makes sense together. It's why Jesus didn't set up a multi-level pyramid scheme with his disciples. It was not Jesus doing one-on-ones. It was Jesus and the 12 in community. So if it wasn't Jesus doing one-on-ones back then, how has this become our primary model now? Our relationships tell the story, or not. It seems obvious to point out, but humility, gentleness, and patience don't happen by themselves. It's why he takes it even further here, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, can I be bold with what I'm about to say? Discipleship to Jesus is either profoundly relational or it is not discipleship to Jesus. By relational, I don't mean a personal relationship with Jesus. I mean at least that, but I'm coming to question whether a personal relationship with Jesus is even possible apart from other people. Stay with me now. Don't get nervous. I find when it is just me and Jesus, Jesus tends to think a lot like I think. He tends to affirm my biases and overlook my sins. I've talked to other people about their me and Jesus approaches, and their experience is quite different. Their Jesus often sounds like a real jerk to me. Sure, we're all quoting different scriptures from our foxhole quiet times, but we've pretty much got Jesus crafted in the image of our own broken past lives, or cast in the image of our self-righteous deceptions. I am not overstating my case, though, to make a point here. New Testament Christianity assumes discipleship in bona fide relationships with other believers. I am convinced the failure to identify and essentialize this largely assumed conviction is to blame for the arrested development of most Christians in America, I'll say, today. frankly, I think it's to blame for the anemic understanding of calling and being called in the present age. Our highly individualized sense of personhood in America has brought us many good gifts. It is time, though, for this way of living and being to be brought into the searching light of the gospel for the thoroughgoing critique of the cross. For us to live a life worthy of the calling to which we have been called will require it. That was a lot for Saturday. Let's pray. Abba Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who first called 12 to be his disciples. Would you instruct us in the clearly demonstrated, yet unwritten ways of discipleship to Jesus? We want the real Jesus and not our self-constructed, imagined version. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Journal prompts. All right, I'm just going to ask it. Do you think I'm overstating my case? It's your turn. Why or why not? I love pushback. Just try not to shove back. Number two, would you describe your discipleship to Jesus over the course of your life as mostly relational or mostly individual? And number three, are you leading a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called? And then I'd ask you, where is the growing edge for you? Lots more to say here. I'm just going to invite Dad to come in with me now and help us sing together on this Saturday. That's a lot to digest. I'm going to leave that with you, and let's sing together now. Okay, folks, it is Saturday, and Saturday is a good day for singing hymns. And we happen to have a great hymn singer with us today. This is John David Walt Sr.,
right?
The OG. And he had a suggestion for our hymn today. Tell him what it is. Right here.
Blessed be the tide that binds.
What's the number?
Number 405.
Okay. Blessed be the tie
that binds our hearts in Christian love.
I don't want any Alabama people to be confused that we said tied. It's blessed be the tie. The tie that binds.
T-I-E.
T-I-E. Because what Jesus does through the Holy Spirit, he ties us together.
Amen.
It's like he ties knots of our lives together, and then he dwells in the midst of that knot, in that relationship. That's where he works.
Mm-hmm.
And here's an interesting little thing. About a week or so ago, I asked you all, I said, are there hymns that you would like us to sing on the wake-up call? And we got a lot of responses. And do you know what a lot of you said? You said the very song that Dad suggested we sing today, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. So we're going to just sing all six verses of that. They're very short,
mm-hmm.
but I want you to attend to the words. It's number 405 in our Seedbed Hymnal, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. And let's sing it. We're going to sing it at a good tempo, but, you know, that's the whole point of today's lesson, is that we are, when God says you in the Bible, almost every time, he means y'all. It's true.
Right.
He means y'all. He's talking to us personally, but he's speaking to us together. And that's why all the commands in the New Testament are one another oriented. Mm-hmm. This is a friendship thing that we're doing here with Jesus. We have a friend in Jesus, and he wants us to be friends with each other.
Amen.
Okay, so you ready?
Yeah.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers, our fears, our hopes, our dreams, our one, our comforts and our cares. We share each other's woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other's flows the sympathizing tear.
Verse 4.
When we asunder part, our gazed burdens bear.
Uh-oh, I got that wrong.
Yeah.
When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again.
Number 5.
This glorious hope invites our courage by the way, while each in expectation lives and longs to see the day.
Number 6.
From sorrow's soul and pain, we shall be radiant and perfect love and friendship reign through all eternity.
Well, we stumbled a couple times on that one, but we made it through.
As long as you end right, you're okay.
That's right. As long as you get to the end, you made it. Well, it's Saturday, and it's going to be a good day, and I want you today to be mindful of the ties that bind in your life today. Maybe reach out and call somebody you hadn't seen in a while.
That would be wonderful because, you know, sometimes we get calls like that, and you can just feel their smile on the radio.
That's right. You can feel their love.
That's right.
And you hadn't seen them in a while. And
mm-hmm.
You know who we need to go see, Dad?
Who's that?
Mr. Andrew Pickens.
We'll sure do
it. That's one of your oldest friends, isn't it?
He certainly is. He and I have been places we can't talk about.
Mr. Andrew Pickens.
Yep.
And you know the town he lives in?
Pickens.
Pickens. He lives in Pickens. It's his town.
You know, I think Mr. Pickens died.
Mr. R.A. Pickens. Yeah, he passed on. He was a great man.
His mother, Madeline, was a queen. She was just a wonderful person. She was pretty. She was thoughtful. And she kind of overrided Mr. Pickens.
Okay. Well, I remember that, you know, that our church way back there in Dumas, I remember it when I was very young, it was the Burt Pickens Memorial Church.
Burt Pickens Jr. Memorial Methodist Church.
Yep.
That was their son who died.
And that's something.
Yeah. I think it maybe.
And I remember, Dad, that I remember the story. I wasn't there, but when Miss Pickens died, they asked you to sing at the funeral graveside.
Mm.
And
did I?
And I remember it was a big story because you're like, you know, first off, I'm not really a solo singer. You sing in the choir. But they asked you to sing the song in the garden, which is not that easy to sing as a solo. And I remember you, I remember the stories. You were scared to death that you weren't going to find the right note
to start it
with.
Well, if you don't, you're in trouble.
And I don't think you had a pitch pipe. And
no.
But I heard that you nailed it.
Good.
And that was a big honor to be part of that funeral.
I appreciate you telling me that because I had totally forgotten.
Yes. You remember it now, though.
Yeah. And Miss Pickens was, you know, Mr. Pickens was a good man. He was a Christian man, but he just didn't have that warm.
He was a hard man, wasn't he?
Yeah, he didn't have that warm personality.
He was tough.
But Miss Pickens overrode that.
She overrode it. She overcame it.
She overcame it.
That's good.
And Andrew is one of my very best friends, and he and I have been down some roads I care not to go back.
Well, we're going to call him and go see him this week.
Yep.
This is a day you go find that friend, call him, text him, write him a letter. It matters.
It does.
These are the ties that bind.
Yeah, our hearts and Christian love.
Jesus is in those ties. When you get closer to them, you feel closer to him.
Mm-hmm. You do.
All right, for The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
And I'm David Walt.
We'll see you
in the field.
On the field. All right. Let's get celebrating.